Praise the Lord for all of you listening online. Tonight's topic is going to be very instrumental in your understanding about the church as it relates to the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture of the church that I believe the Word of God teaches. And of course, I'm going to have multiple scriptures for you to look at. And the main focus that we are going to be looking at in this sixth session, and this will be part A, part B will be in lesson six of this presentation online, will be a continuation about the imminent coming of the Lord. First thing I want you to understand is there is distinctions of rapture and second advent. The rapture is what the church is looking for. The second advent is what Israel is looking for. So you have to see that there is a distinction between Israel and the church. Israel is looking for signs that they may be living in expectancy when the time of his coming should draw nigh. Whereas the church was given no sign, but told to live in the light of an imminent coming of the Lord. So I'm going to give multiple scriptures here that point to the picture that was painted for the church on what their level of expectation was as it related to Jesus Christ. They already understood that he was not going to immediately set up his earthly kingdom. Like they asked him during that 40 days after his resurrection, Lord, when are you going to set up your kingdom? And they said, it's not for you to know. Why? Because there was something else that God was doing. And we will hear the word gap age, church age, as it relates to that. So the first scripture we're going to look at is going to be in John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Again, these are scriptures that give you an idea of what the disciples, the church, what their expectation was concerning his return. John 14, 2 and 3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so you see here that the word that Jesus gave to his disciples was, I'm going to prepare something for you and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So that was thoughts of him returning, and it says, come again to receive you. That was a expectation they had because Jesus gave them that expectation. Next verse is Acts 1 and 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye seen him go into heaven. Another level of expectation for the church. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The word mystery is very important. And when we speak of mystery, it is something that was hidden that had not yet been revealed to God's people, whether that be the Old Testament Israelites or the New Testament church. But Paul is now saying to the church of Corinth, I'm going to give you a mystery, something that was not explained in the Old Testament. We're not all going to sleep. We're going to be changed. And what's going to happen? Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So again, Paul is giving them a level of expectation that there is going to be an imminent moment, a twinkling of an eye. In a moment, that the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. We are going to see a scripture that is familiar to that, that helps them look towards a rapture. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to hit this hard a little bit. Everything you see in regards to these scriptures, and as you correlate it to end time prophecy, those that are thinking about Jesus and his return are looking for the Savior. The church is looking for the Savior. The church is not looking for an Antichrist. The church is not looking for wrath. The church is not looking for tribulation or darkness. The Bible says that we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, a mindset of an imminent return of their Savior. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So there is a understanding that he is going to come back. He is going to have an appearing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. Now this is very important. The last part of verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we're speaking about imminent return. We're speaking about their level of expectation. We're speaking about what they were looking for, who they were looking for. And we see that who they were looking for was Jesus. Jesus. Now, why are they looking for him? I repeat the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Contextually speaking about the end time, what other wrath is going to come except the wrath of the tribulation? And here we see that Jesus Christ, whom they were looking for, will deliver them from the wrath to come. That is the church. Very important for you to get that point. If you miss that point, you are missing a lot. We cannot ignore the scripture, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Timothy 6:14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Timothy, this is the level of expectation. You are looking for the appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. James 5, verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. A scripture that states coming of the Lord draweth nigh is speaking about a imminent return that is created for the church, as should be their expectancy. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts or desires, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So we see here clearly that even the mockers had an expectation that was presented that this Christ was supposed to come back. And they were questioning it because he has not yet come back. That only speaks to the level of the expectation they had. Look at the warnings that the scripture gives to the believers. Warnings to the believers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Why? Titus 2:13 will explain the reason why we need to watch and be sober. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There was an expectation for them to be looking for a blessed hope. It is going to be a hopeful thing that we have in waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. In other words, I've already taught you this. Go back and listen. Go back and remember what you've received and what you've heard, and hold fast to it and repent. Why? If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He is speaking to the church in the book of Revelation, and again, their expectancy was a return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 22, 17 through 21, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. Excuse me. And from the things that are written in this book, which he which testify these things saith what? Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So the last verses of the Bible speaks of an imminent return. They say, come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So again, if you look at all these scriptures, there is an expectation of the believers of an imminent return of Christ. Okay? Now, the next section I want you to key in on is about the nature of the 70th week. As we talk about the nature of the 70th week, why are the reasons it is happening, we have to look at what was said in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10 again, which says, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So the nature of the 70th week. The nature of the 70th week is that there are a number of words used in both Old Testament and New Testament to describe the 70th week period, that tribulation period. Many scriptures are in the Bible that are leading us to understand what's going on during this time, why it's happening, what it looks like. All of these things together is what I mean by the nature of the 70th week. When we look at all these scriptures, both Old and New Testament, we look at them together, we see the essential nature or the character of this period. And we are going to see words such as, the number one word, is this is a time of wrath. This is a time of wrath. I'm going to give you multiple scriptures. Please take them down. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So a very powerful scripture here in the middle of the tribulation. We see people here on earth are recognizing that what they are in the middle of is a time of wrath, and not just any wrath. It specifically says in verse 16, from the wrath of the Lamb. Skip over to Revelation 11 and verse 18, looking at the nature of the 70th week. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. So here we see, it clearly says, what's going on is the wrath of God. Revelation chapter 14, verse 19. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Revelation 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God. Scripture after scripture pointing to the purpose and nature of this time period is the wrath of God. Chapter 16, verse 1 of Revelation. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Scripture after scripture speaking on the nature of this time period is not an accident. It's not just tribulation of the Antichrist. This specific time period is directly connected to God's direct wrath upon the earth. Not just randomness, not just the Antichrist. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come, because the wrath of God is going to come on those that were disobedient to him. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, you know I'm going to come back to this verse, but the point I'm making here is that there is going to be wrath to come. We read it in Revelation. We are reading it in 1 Thessalonians. The wrath of God is going to come, but we see here that God has appointed the church not to be a part of that wrath. You cannot skip over the scripture. You cannot ignore the scripture. Let's go over to an Old Testament minor prophet, the book of Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 15. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 15. And it reads, That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. He is speaking prophetically about the tribulation period. Look at verse 18 of Zephaniah chapter 1. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the, look at it, Lord's wrath. This time period is about God's wrath directly upon a disobedient, corrupt world. All right? So I'm hammering this, that you would not ignore the scriptures to understand that the word of God itself speaks of the 70th week of Daniel to be a period of not random wrath, okay? Not hypothetical wrath, not accidental wrath. It is specifically the wrath of God that is taking place during this time period. I must hasten on. The next thing about the nature of this seventh week is it's a time of judgment. I'm going to just give you the scriptures out loud. I don't have time to turn to each of them. Revelation 14, verse 7, speaking of judgment. Revelation 15, verse 4, speaking of judgment. Revelation 16, 5 through 7, speaking of judgment. And Revelation 19, verse 2, speaking of judgment. Next thing is a time of indignation, God's indignation. This is in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 through 21, as well as Isaiah 34, verses 1 through 3. It is a time of punishment. of the Jewish people. It is in Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 20. Isaiah 24 and verse 20. And it is a hour of trial. Revelation 3:10. Hour of trouble. Jeremiah 30 verse 7. It is a time of destruction. Joel 1:15. And time of darkness. Joel 2 verse 2. And Zephaniah 1:14 through 18. And the thought behind this is that this happens as a whole and not just a portion of this time period. This is what the tribulation is going to bring. There's going to be direct wrath from God, judgment from God, indignation from God, punishment from God. It will be an hour of trial, of trouble, of destruction, of darkness. This is all of the Lord's doing, and he gave it to Daniel in advance about what's going to take place. The wrath, though, has to be looked at in the context of the church. I repeat, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. This is pretty much the basis of this entire lesson in regards to us being a pre-tribulation believing church, as far as the pastor is concerned. Hallelujah. God hath not appointed us to wrath. Be sure and know that the context of the scripture is also not random, but that this book is dealing specifically with end time events and the coming of the Lord. And it says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So wrath for others, but salvation for us at the rapture, whether we wake or whether we sleep. There is no question that during this tribulation period, the whole world is going to be affected, but it doesn't negate the fact that the period is still in relation to God's special people, which is Israel. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 states, it is the time of Jacob's trouble. That's who this period was for. It is to position these Jewish people in a place of repentance, to know they rejected the true Messiah. So when he comes back 7 years later, they're going to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They're going to recognize him as the one that will deliver them from the Antichrist. Daniel 9, the Lord states, Daniel, know that 70 weeks are determined upon who? Upon thy people, upon thy holy city, in verse 24. This whole period, not just the last 70, was in relation to Daniel's people, Israel, and his holy city, Jerusalem. Daniel's 70th week was not about the church of Jesus Christ. Daniel's 70 weeks was about the Israel people and the holy city of Jerusalem. And that's why there is a gap period between the 69th and 70th week, because the Lord did not appoint the church to wrath. We have a pause button. We have a gap period. It is the church age where the Lord does a work with the church until he goes back to his people, like we read in our last lesson in regards to Romans chapter 11. We will get back into more scriptures that show the church was a mystery in detail. But let me now say, because the church was a mystery, the church could not have been in view in these Old Testament prophecies. The church was not born until after the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. So therefore, the church was not being talked about in the first 69 weeks, since it had no part in the first 68 weeks, which are related only to God's program for Israel. It is contextually reasonable and contextually accurate that the church has no part in the 69th nor 70th week. Amen. I am going to end there, and the scripture that we are going to go into when you hear the next section will be 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you. And Paul is speaking about comforting one another concerning the rapture. Comforting one another concerning the rapture. God bless you. This was lesson 6A. Your next lesson will be 6B. be. God bless you.